Should extend Christian greetings in the very precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Redeemer, our risen Lord and Redeemer. And I'm thankful for the presence of each one of you this morning. Trust that we can continue to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I've truly been blessed already with the Sunday school hour, the devotional meditation. And I had to marvel again in the working of God as he works in and through us. And as Brother Darvin was sharing devotional meditation, I thought how fitting it is as an introduction and opening to the message that God has laid upon my heart. And I'm glad he clarified that. And if you're looking to me for a message, you're going to be disappointed. But we need to look to the Lord. And I trust that the Lord can use each one of us in our callings in life as an instrument in his hand to share God's word and to bring forth what he has done and is continuing to do in the lives of each one of us. So may the Lord's name be honored and glorified. You may open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We like to think this morning a little bit about spiritual growth and maturity in Christ. And I think all of us would agree that our life here, our experience with Christ, is a growing and developing one. It should be. We should be drawing closer to God as we go through life. And I think probably all of us, or at least most of us, can reflect in times where we kind of were on a plateau and leveled off and we're not growing like we should have been. It's a challenge for us as we continue through life. Sometimes I'm not sure that I'm quite at the place where Job was in his experience. When everything's taken from us, you know, how do we respond? I know how I tend to respond. Become a little discouraged in life, but may we continue to look to the Lord. His grace is sufficient. He has given us many promises to continue to carry us through and to help us to be victorious in the end. This morning, we'd like to especially look at verses 13 through 16 as a text, but I thought it'd be fitting to read verse 1 through 16. Let me kind of get the background and the setting here as we think of the church, the brotherhood, and our responsibility as each one, as individuals, in our place within the church, as God has called us, as God has placed us. I'm not sure how you feel this morning as a part of the Blue Ridge congregation. I'm not sure how you feel as a part of the Pilgrim Mennonite Conference. Do you feel that's where God has called you? That's where God has placed you. And he has a work for you to do. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, the first 16 verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith he hath called you, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope in your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower part of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And now coming to our text, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Growing and maturing in Christ. I trust that that's the goal of each one of us here this morning. That's our desire, that we be drawn closer to him, that we become more like our master in everyday life. I'd like to look at just a few words here that I feel are key words to our text. First one I'd like to look at is knowledge. It talks about us coming to the knowledge of the Son of God. I think knowledge here represents a full comprehension of God, an understanding of God, knowing God, a completeness. Another word we have here in our text is, or another thought at least, is mature. As we think of this growing up and becoming mature, I think it's a goal of each one of us from our childhood days. We look forward to growing. And I trust that as newborn babes in Christ, as we came to that place where we accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior, it was our goal to become more like our Master, to grow. Mature, I think, indicates being full grown or perfect. It's the word that's used here in our text. And we might become perfect. I realize, we all realize this morning, that we're far from perfect. We have some room to grow. And I trust that we're continuing to strive for perfection. Also, we have this word here of unto the measure, verse 13. Measure here, I believe, defines the perfect or mature position. The point of which the fullness of Christ is received. It's something we all strive for. We're looking forward to that day when we come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm not sure that I can quite comprehend and fathom all that. When I think of Christ as the perfect Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God who came to give himself for us, for me, a sinner, one who was ugly, marred by sin, and yet he was willing and ready to do that. Also, another word we have here is this word of fullness. Fullness is that quality of life which belongs to Christ. And I'm not sure that I know of an individual on the face of this earth who is not looking for quality of life. And man is striving to find quality of life. It's sad to say they're looking in all the wrong places. We, as the children of God, know where we can find that true quality of life, that fullness, which is in Jesus Christ. And I believe today, that day that you came and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you began to experience that fullness of Christ. I believe it's a continual growing experience in our life. First point we'd like to look at this morning is just think about this word, growth. We want to notice, I believe, how unity is achieved through our growth. Our growing experience in the love of God as it's shed abroad in our hearts. Let's turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1. I like the words of Peter here as I think it helps us to understand growth. We understand that growth is, well, it's kind of like an adding process. And 2 Peter 1, Peter talks about these things that need to be added to our life. I think things that are contrary to our carnal nature. 2 Peter 1, verse 5, he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe growing is an adding process. If we think of a little babe as he comes into this world, he's not very big. Maybe about 6, 8, some of them even 10 pounds, but pretty small in comparison to what we become in our physical bodies in adulthood. But as we think of that little babe, as he comes into this world and he's fed and nurtured and cared for, he begins to add to his stature. He begins to grow, becomes heavier. And children, especially young boys, they look forward to the day when they grow into adulthood as their muscles develop. And sometimes they like to exercise those muscles and see who is the strongest. Well, I think God calls us to exercise the gifts that he gives to us too, as we grow, that we may use those gifts and exercise, well, can we say, our spiritual muscles. Not for our honor and glory, as maybe young boys do and seeing who's the strongest, but that we might use them for God's honor and glory. We see here that Paul says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. To me, that speaks of till we all come, speaks of a growing experience. And not only individually in each one of our lives, but that we all grow together and help one another to come to the unity of the faith. I believe growth in faith depends upon our experience with Christ. We can't grow in faith and knowledge of him unless we have that personal, interpersonal experience with Jesus Christ. I believe faith accepts the person of Christ. We come to that place where we accept Christ for who he is and realize that he is the only one that can save us. He is the only one that can redeem us from our sinful state. And then faith acts upon those promises that God has given us. And even as we go on through our Christian experience, we act upon those promises. And we talked about some of those promises this morning, some of those promises that even before they were written down, Job acted upon them. He knew that God was able to see him through. And God alone, God only, was the one who could sustain him through those trials and through those struggles in life. Also, we see that, I believe, growth in grace and knowledge. Growth in grace and knowledge. We need to look to God and allow him to affect our lives. He says here, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. It is through God's grace upon our lives, through his working within our lives, that we can continue to become more like him. Let's turn back to 2 Peter again. Chapter 3. Very familiar verse here, verse 18, where Peter gives the admonition at the close of this book here. He says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. How do we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Again, it's by reading his word. It's by having that close walk with him, communion with Christ on a daily basis as we go throughout our everyday life and the circumstances that come in life. And as we take time to be alone with God, we need to continue to read upon his word. But it's not only reading God's word. It's not only knowing what the Bible says. But I believe it's also by allowing that word to penetrate our hearts and to affect our hearts so that we might and we become changed individuals. Individuals that bring honor and glory to God because we're allowing his word to affect our lives and our nature is thus changed. And we can do those things that are pleasing to him. It's no longer what I want to do, but it's what Christ wants me to do. Yes, we gain knowledge through the word We come acquainted with God because we read his word. We allow his word to penetrate our hearts and to affect our lives. And it's a continual growing experience. And as we continue to allow that to happen in our lives, he continues to help us to grow. And we become acquainted with all his ways, allowing him to move our hearts and beings. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3 says, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." I believe it comes back to our experience with him. Do I mean business with God? Is my heart right with him? Am I allowing him to affect my thinking, my words, my actions, and each one of us here today? I believe knowing Christ means growing in identity and a union with him. Knowing Christ as our personal Savior, allowing him to affect our lives. Not only does knowing Christ as our personal Savior and walking with him and allowing him to speak to us help us to grow, but also our relationship with one another, especially as we reflect on this passage of Scripture here speaking about the body of Christ, the church, the brothers and sisters in the Lord. Our growth and maturity depends upon our relationships with one another. Are we going to continue to nurture those relationships? And I believe it's through the power of Christ working in us that we can build those relationships and not only be drawn closer to Jesus Christ and grow in our experience with him, but all of us together can be drawn closer together and grow with him. 1 Thessalonians, look at a verse there in chapter 3, verse 12, speaking about the Lord working in and through us. Paul says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." The picture here of the Lord working within our hearts, Jesus Christ working within our hearts, that we can have love one for another. Can you think of someone that, well, you just don't quite have the level of appreciation that you realize that God wants you to have? How do we attain that level of appreciation? How do we grow in appreciation and love for one another? Well, one of the ways, I believe, is praying for them, asking God to bless their lives. Then I believe we can grow in appreciation and love for one another. I fear there's too many individuals in life who have, well, I'm not sure, a grudge or hold something against another individual, and then they wonder why they're not growing in their spiritual life, not maturing in the way that God would have them to grow. Well, I think it's a serious thing. We need to nurture that love for one another, the brethren and sisters in the Lord. May we be with Paul that and have that desire within our hearts to grow and become mature individuals in the Lord. Also, we see here that Paul talks about, toward the latter part there, verse 13, unto a perfect man. You know, when we buy things to use, material things around us, we use in everyday life, we like them to be good. We like them to be as perfect as man can make them. And we realize that all things wear out, all things break down because man has made them, not God. He has allowed man to make things that we can use. But we like things to be as nearly perfect as they can be. Especially as a young fellow goes out and buys a car, he looks to see if it has any scratches on it. He wants it to be perfect. And I think it's right that we desire our things to be neat. I think that's good. When they built this building here, they tried to make it as neat and as perfect as they could, along with the stability of it all and everything. And I think that's right and good. But more important is our Christian walk, our Christian life, our walk with Christ. Are we really striving for perfection? You know your faults. I know my faults. and we know some of each other's. Are we helping one another to grow? I think one of the big steps in that, especially in relation to one another, is what Paul says in the Colossian letter, Colossians 3:14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. I think it comes back to enlarging on this thought of our love and relationship with one another. Are we talking about others behind their back and the flat spots that we have? Or are we helping them to rise above those things? Are we helping them to be drawn closer to one another in the body of Christ? I think it's an awesome but a great responsibility of each one of us, an awesome privilege for each one of us to help our brothers and sisters within our local congregations to all be drawn closer together. And as we do that, I think it helps those who are facing struggles and trials in life to be drawn closer to Christ, to find victory in their Christian experience. Yes, it's a great responsibility that we all help one another to become perfect. Yes, I know that as long as we're here in this life, we're not going to be perfect, but we're striving for that perfection. We're called to strive for that perfection. And I believe that as we live obedient lives, as we live lives that, according to God's word, and our love for one another, I'd like to just look at a few verses in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. 3 through 5. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God, notice, perfected. We need to walk in obedience. Hereby we know that we are in him. Obedience to God. Obedience to his word. And the desires, his desires within each one of our lives. We read here that he's called various individuals to fill different roles and responsibilities within the church. And as we live in obedience to God and his word and to the church, then we can fulfill those responsibilities, those roles, those callings within our life. And it brings perfectness to each one of us. James talks about another aspect of growing in perfection. It's one of those things that is, well, he says it's nigh impossible. It's very difficult. And especially outside of Christ, it is impossible. James chapter 3, verse 2, for he says, in many things we are offended in all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. This thing of offending one another, we realize that sometimes we offend others unintentionally. And may it be far from us to offend one intentionally. We need to look to Christ. We need to allow him to move in and through us so that we can become that perfect man. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. But may we strive for that perfection. Paul also talks about in Philippians 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We all realize this morning that as being a child of God, it is a high calling. It's something we can't do ourselves. It is only by the grace of God, by his working within each one of our lives. Now we like to think about maturity. Maturity in Christ. And these verses here talk about attaining that maturity, talk about pressing forward to attain that. The latter part of verse 13, he talks about unto a perfect man. To me, that talks of maturity. To me, that speaks of something I haven't attained yet. And sometimes when I observe my own life, it seems like I'm an awful far distance away from that. I'm not sure that I can attain it. And I know that I can't outside of Christ. And then in the latter part of that verse, talks about unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When I think of the fullness of Christ, the completeness of Christ, is that something that is attainable? Is that something that I can reach? Well, of course, outside of Christ, it is not. But I think, so we think of some marks of maturity, of an individual that we would say, well, now he's a mature individual. Yes, and we talk about maturity, maybe not to quite the level that it's brought out in these verses, but we ought to conduct ourselves in a manner that speaks of maturity, especially of those of us who have reached adulthood. I believe loyalty to Christ and acknowledging his headship and lordship over our lives, I believe, is a mark of maturity. Realizing that outside of Christ we are nothing. Realizing that we need Jesus Christ as our example, as our Lord, as our guide throughout life. We need to acknowledge that Christ is Lord of all. And then give our loyalties to him, walking in his footsteps, allowing him to guide us and lead us. Another point there in marks of maturity, I believe, is in our understanding. Most, if not all of us here this morning, have been brought up in Christian homes. We have been taught the scriptures from a young age as our parents read Bible stories to us. And as we grew, we realized that from some of those Bible stories that maybe we didn't fully understand what God was trying to say through those. And our understanding grew. I believe all of us can reflect back in times where our understanding grew and we came to understand better the scriptures and what God was speaking. But I believe one who is desiring to grow, one who is exemplifying maturity, is one who is going to have a better understanding. Yes, we don't all understand everything. At least I don't. But I hope that all of us here this morning are continuing to grow in our understanding of God's Word and of the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians. I'd like to just look at a few verses here in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11 says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I came a man, I put away childish things." We all know how a child acts, and through the different stages of life. And it's interesting for us as parents, as our children grow, and to observe as they go through the different stages of life. Well, as we come to Jesus Christ, we also need to continue to grow in our Christian experience and conduct ourselves in a manner that is fitting for a child of God. Also, chapter 14, verse 20. "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men." And I think as we become men of understanding, men of maturity, and sisters, and we discuss the scriptures, we discuss them in such a way that is beneficial, a way that helps one another to grow. We could turn to Hebrews chapter 5. I won't maybe turn to that for lack of time, but the verses there talk about being spiritually mature, growing in our Christian experience so that we can teach others. You know, we come to the place where we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and even before that, we've been taught of the scriptures, but as babes in Christ, we continue to grow and we continue to understand the scriptures better. And the Hebrew writer says that we ought to, you know, be past that stage and growing in our Christian walk so that we can teach others. You know, Christ has given us the Great Commission in Matthew. We are to go out to teach others and help them to understand and help them to come to the place where they can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and be baptized so that they too can reach out and touch the lives of others. It ought to be a growing experience. We ought to be reaching out to those around. Also, I believe another mark of maturity is, again, coming back to this thought of relating to one another. I know I've heard individuals express the thought already that they don't understand how a person could do something or relate to someone in such a way that, you know, in their carnality. And yet, I think we need to be understanding in others' trials and struggles and what they're going through, and relate to them in such a way that they can rise above that. I fear too often maybe we have related to people, brothers and sisters, in a way that has, you know, pushed them out of the church and pushed them farther away from God. Let's be a people that express the maturity of Christ within our lives, that we relate to one another in such a way that we help one another overcome the trials and struggles that they're facing in life. Let's be understanding. Let's be, of course, forgiving. I believe another mark of maturity is in our purpose in living. I think a mature individual in Christ is one who knows why he is here upon this earth. Do you know why you're here at Blue Ridge? Do you know why God has placed you here at this congregation this morning? He has a work for you. He has a work for all of us. And wherever God calls us, wherever God places us in life, may we answer that call. May we fulfill our responsibilities in exercising the gifts that he has given to us and spreading the good news of salvation in our communities, wherever we find ourselves, that we might be living for him, that we might be expressing the love of Christ within our lives. And that brings us to the next point in exercising our responsibilities. I believe the mature individual, the one who is growing, the one who is desiring God's name to be honored and glorified, is going to be exercising his responsibilities wherever God has placed them, wherever God has called you. May you be doing that. Let's turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Just look at a verse there. The verse, just ahead of the verse that we read a little earlier, chapter 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I believe the mature individual is going to be one who is stable in his Christian experience, one who is allowing Christ to speak to him and to direct him, and that the things of this life, this world, all the evil that is about us, all the deception, doesn't sway us. He talks about here in verse 14 in our text, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. The mature individual is going to be rooted and grounded and settled in the truth. He knows why he is here. He knows where God has called him to serve, and he's putting his all into that. I think that speaks of maturity. It brings stability in an individual's life. I believe it also regulates our social practices and how we conduct ourselves. The mature individual realizes what God is calling him to. We're no longer children in knowledge or weak in the faith. We're inconsistent in our judgments. Yes, sometimes we hardly know how to respond. But we go to the Word and we allow Christ to speak to us again. For the last part of the message, we'd like to think about this thought of unity in Christ. I think we all desire unity this morning. We all desire working together. And Paul's desire here in verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. This unity in Christ. As we're drawn together as brothers and sisters in the Lord, Well, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. I can't help but come back to this thought of love. The love of God is shed upon broad in our hearts. May that love be expressed in our everyday life as we rub shoulders with the world and as we work together as brethren and sisters in the Lord. We need to be expressing that agape love, that Christ-like love. But that love is not only to be expressed to those around us in the church, but also those around us in the world. And I believe that love is going to move us to speak to others who need Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because there's a burden within our hearts, and we need to share. But that love also is going to move us in our relations and our working together among the brotherhood, among you here as brethren and sisters in the Lord at Blue Ridge, among us as a pilgrim conference, but also among us as we relate with other church groups. It's a fervent desire, a sincere love for Christ that moves us to touch the lives of each one in love. Christ has commanded us to love. In John 15:12, I believe he gives that commandment that we're to love one another as I have loved you. What kind of love is that? Love one another as I have loved you. Well, what did Christ do for us? He came to Calvary. On the cruel cross of Calvary, gave his life. Am I willing to give my life to express that kind of love for my brother? Are you? I believe that's the kind of love that we need to express. And that kind of love inevitably is going to cause unity. It's going to cause a closeness, a drawing together. You know, as we think of our families, our own flesh and blood, our relatives, I think we can all express a oneness, a closeness. There's something about that bond. Can we experience that within the church, within the brotherhood? There should be that oneness, that bond. It's all drawn together in Christ. He's the one that redeemed us. He's the one who has drawn us out of that miry clay, out of that pit of destruction. John talks about, back in 1 John, about the love, and we don't have time to read all the verses that we could in relation to this love, but I'd like to just draw out maybe at least one here. John, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And he doesn't stop there. He says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Are you willing to do that for your brethren this morning? This unity in Christ. Notice in verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body to edifying itself in love. I don't know about you this morning, but that verse is packed. That verse has a lot for us. Think of our bodies, our physical bodies this morning. As Paul tries to impress upon his readers, this thought of unity, this thought of working together. I am so thankful for that my body is, I think for the most part, is working together in unity this morning. If it were not, I could not be standing up here and sharing God's word with you. I'm sure you're thankful for the working together of your body. How each part, in its calling, in its place in life, is working together so that we can function, so that we can go about our duties and responsibilities. As I got up this morning and went about the chores and in preparation to come here, it all worked together in harmony so that I could be here this morning. And sometimes our bodies don't work together in quite that harmony. Something is out of zinc and doesn't function quite the way it should. And it causes a disruption in our lives. Well, so it is in the body of Christ. If one of us, just one of us, doesn't work, doesn't do what we're supposed to do in working together, it causes a disruption, I believe, in God's kingdom here below. In what he would desire to have done to his name's honor and glory, to the furtherance of his kingdom. What a blessing it is. What a blessing. And what a bright and shining light it is when God's people harmoniously work together in laboring in his kingdom here upon the earth. Well, we notice that Christ is the author of this unity and, I believe, the sustainer of this unity. Outside of Christ, we don't find that unity. One of the questions I've often thought of, when there's church problems, is it because that someone is not walking in the ways of truth and righteousness? And I'm not sure that we can fully have that answer here below, because God's ways are so much higher than our ways. But I believe as we yield ourselves to Christ, it is our responsibility to do what we can to bring unity within the body of Christ, supplying what every joint needs. You know, as we think of our joints, as they work together, there's, I'm not sure how many parts of a joint. I should have looked that up before, and that thought just comes to me. But as you think of your joints and your body, how many parts are there? And what does every joint have to do? You know, sometimes my knees get to aching, and I'm not sure if there's a little arthritis there or what, but there's supposed to be something in my knees and my joints that's supposed to lubricate them as they work together, and I understand that maybe that isn't quite working the way it should, and it causes a little pain, and it causes a little stiffness. Well, when we think of the body of Christ, Paul says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, you and I together in the body, supplying what that joint needs. You know, if there's not quite that smooth working together in the brotherhood, maybe I'm not supplying what that joint needs. And there's a little pain, there's a little grating. I think we need to find ourselves working together and supplying what every joint needs. And love goes a long way in that, but the Spirit of God working, the Spirit of Christ working within our lives, I believe is the answer in helping to supply what every joint needs. Christ is that manager of unity within the life of each one of us in the body of Christ. And Christ, of course, as I said earlier, is the sustainer and the occasion for that unity. We could look at John 17. It's time to close. We won't turn to that. We're all familiar with the high priestly prayer. And I just marvel again and again, and I'll often contemplate upon that thought that Christ brings there, that you and I, this morning, as his disciples, may be as one. As God and Christ working together, that we may be one as they are one. Is that possible? Is that possible? I'll let you think about that. Closing thought. Mutual love among brethren and sisters in a congregation is essential to spiritual growth. You know, if we don't have that mutual love, if we don't allow Christ's love flowing in and through us, there's not going to be that working together. It is in love that the body edifies itself. And as that body edifies itself, it continues to grow, it continues to blossom, it continues to shine forth brightly in this dark and sinful world. And notice, the latter part of verse 16, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. We could look at that increase in a number of ways. One of those ways we could say, well, increasing in numbers. And from what I remember, the Blue Ridge congregation, you have increased in numbers. But I believe more importantly is the increase in our spiritual growth, that we all may come to the unity of faith, that we all may be more like Christ as he continues to grant life here below. Shall we come before him in prayer?